welcome to the Butts the Seats podcast, episode number 139.
Next one, baby. Yeah. Next one.
I'm Nick alongside Emily.
Hello.
Emily, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, but do you think we should probably talk about what it is we do here? Some people seem very confused.
Yeah, Emily, what is it we do here?
We take a week-by-week look at the slow but inevitable downfall of a company called WCW through the late 90s and early 2000s.
Yeah, we recently got back from SummerSlam.
Woohoo!
Recording this a week later.
We felt our feelings. We're still not watching live product right now. I need a break, brother.
As we were leaving and all the complicated feelings were happening.
Yeah, end of night two.
Yeah. We're wearing our shirts that has the Twitter handle on the back.
Yeah, we've posted about these shirts a couple of times. Like, Nick just made them for him and I. We wear them to wrestling shows.
So we see them on their phone looking at one of our pages.
So I didn't know for sure that it was one of our pages, but, like, you know, everybody's on their phone on their way to the car. But he just starts saying out loud, "The slow but inevitable downfall of WCW. What's WCW?" I'm like, oh, you are actively looking us up right now, and oh, God, you don't know what WCW is. Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, before we get into the actual episode, I guess let's talk a little bit about SummerSlam and a little bit about Hulk Hogan.
Oh, yeah, we never had an opportunity to talk about that whole thing.
Yeah, we recorded Halloween Havoc beforehand, and then the episode got so long that I'm like, oh, well, let's just wait for the next one. Also, much like SummerSlam, like, it's been a little while, so it's not as fresh.
Exactly. And
everything is settled.
So when Nick called me in the middle of the day and told me that this happened, I thought he was joking. Honestly, my first thought was, this is a work. This is a lie that he has put to, like, he's doing some weird return and somebody caught him, like, doing this, like, fake death thing or something.
Like Hulk Hogan said, Hollywood Hogan lives.
Exactly. Yeah. Something like that. The old Taylor can't come to the phone right now. I was about to walk into a meeting. I was waiting for another meeting to wrap so I could walk into an office for a meeting. And you call me and you're like, Hulk Hogan died. I'm like, no, the fuck he didn't. And so we sit there on the phone and we look it up and we're like, oh, shit, he died. And so I go into this meeting. People who know I watch wrestling but have no interest in it, they know tangentially who Hulk Hogan is. But I walk into this meeting and I'm like, guys, Hulk Hogan died. And we spend the first half of that, like, talking about it, whatever. I walk back up to my office after this meeting. My boss stops me in the hallway and is like, are you okay? Do you need to go home? Like, I didn't know the man.
We have spent a lot of our hours of free time talking about him.
Unfortunately, that is so true.
Honestly, like, now that time has passed, the world doesn't feel any different now that he's gone.
No.
I think we'll talk about this a little bit when we get to SummerSlam. But I fucking hated the discourse online about everything with that.
About SummerSlam or about Hogan?
Hogan. Well, SummerSlam didn't help either. Hogan, where people had to apologize for praising him in any way.
Yes.
Now, you know, also employees of the company and, you know, the guy just died. I don't blame people for trying to have a measured thing and going, yeah, he was a racist, but he's also very influential.
It's because he was. That's just a true statement. He was very influential to the sport, to the industry. And yeah, wrestling probably would not be where it is today without the influence of Hulk Hogan in the 80s. That's probably just a fact.
But he is a piece of shit.
But he is a racist. But he is a compulsive liar. He's a bad person. He still did this great thing in the 80s for this industry that has become a big part of a lot of people's lives.
Yeah. People are not one thing.
Yes.
Like, I wouldn't say we are fans of Hulk Hogan.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think that man can wrestle. He's losing a lot of matches right now with those Hulksters in heaven.
Like, I don't want to be the community meme of, like, I can excuse racism. That's not what I'm doing. It's just like there is the element, like there is the twofold element of not liking Hulk Hogan. And it's like not liking Terry Bollea and not liking Hulk Hogan. And we frankly don't really like either.
No.
But this is the moment where it's all go, yeah, he was great, and then we can just forget about him.
Thank you for your service. Goodbye.
And speaking of people we'd like to say goodbye to.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, let's talk about SummerSlam. Let's start with SummerSlam Night 1, though, because we did have fun. Now, let's preface that. We had a fun time at the show.
Yeah, I kind of came to the realization where I'm like, I need to stop going to live wrestling shows because
yeah,
everyone there just has main character energy at all times, and just like we ended up getting our seats moved, and we were on floor seats,
which is really cool.
Yeah, it was. However, we were by the stage, and so behind us, it actually started going up slightly, like it was on risers.
Yeah.
Every entrance, everyone is fully standing on their chairs because, oh, I have to see. I'm like, cool. I didn't see anyone's stage entrance for anything.
No, we didn't see anybody's stage entrance. And not only were they standing on their chairs, they also had their arms all the way up in the air with their phone recording.
Yes. Everyone has to record everything that's on a national broadcast.
That's the thing that has always blown my mind, and I'm trying to get out of the habit. Like, you watched me a few times where I had my phone out, I was recording, and I just stopped recording. I deleted almost every video I took because, like,
yeah.
It wasn't a good video. I'm never going to go back and watch that video. I'm trying to get out of the habit of recording stuff like that. Because like you said, it is recorded better somewhere else. And two, I'm never going to go back and watch that video.
It's the same people who record fireworks.
Yeah. When like, you're not going to go
rewatch
back.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you're never going to go back. Like, that's just like this weird brain rot thing that's going on with phones. Like, that has been going on for like 2 decades at this point. You don't need to record every moment of your life.
Yeah, and the same section who started the wave during the Becky and Lyra match, which that match had its problems, they were the ones complaining about the lights on night one. So it's like, don't come if you don't want to be here.
Yeah, we had a lot of problems with this audience in particular. Not every wrestling show is like this.
I had someone spill it into my seat on night two.
Oh my God, yeah. The concept of personal space is lost on a lot of these people. However, the couple that was sitting next to us was incredibly kind. When I leaned over and told them, like, listen, we're getting bullied out of our seat on the other side. Could you, like, they had a spare seat on the other side. Could you move over and give us some space?
I wouldn't say bullied because bullying usually implies some sort of conscious effort. This was just... This was just, you know, base rudeness.
They just were not aware that other people existed.
Yeah.
Like, they got up and down from their seats multiple times, never took their trash.
Yeah.
Left the trash at the end of the night. Like, fuck you. Have some common decency. All that being said, this is an outlier, I feel. We had really good experiences with the crowd, for the most part, at WrestleMania.
But I remember I did get distracted by distracted crowds. It's just, you know, when there's 10,000 people focused on something else, it's hard to not go, what's going on over there?
It has gotten a lot worse recently in the last few years. And like you said, the Becky Lyra match had its issues. It was not an overall bad match. It had good moments, but you weren't allowed to enjoy those moments because they were doing the fucking wave up in the 300 section.
Yeah, and booing sections that didn't continue doing it.
Yeah. We haven't rewatched any of the live broadcasts like on Peacock yet. I can't imagine how that comes across.
Yeah, it's weird. Ugh. Yeah, obviously underwhelmed with John Cena's just a good guy again. That's a big storytelling bummer, and I feel like I constantly keep going, okay. Like, there's great quality matches, but the actual stories, I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I think I don't know that I wanted more out of heel Cena, but I don't know where they would have gone with it after, like, what would they have done, you know? I do, like, now in hindsight, I kind of find it weird that Cody won again. I agree with you that it felt too soon.
Yeah, it just feels like we're back at square one.
Yeah, like, now it's like, okay, nothing changed. That whole heel turn was for nothing. Is The Rock gonna come back? What happened to the final boss thing?
Yeah, that's...
What happened? It just feels like we dropped a lot of storylines for no good reason. Like, yay, Cody's the champion again. I'm happy that Cody's a champion. I like Cody as a champion. But why did that happen?
Yeah, and Roman's written off again.
Yeah.
Just like, it really feels like they just want you to watch the pay-per-views and not the weekly shows, because...
Well, they're about to charge you $30 for the pay-per-views, not the weekly shows.
Yeah, that news also happened where it's like, oh, now it's about to be way more expensive. And then there's the Brock Lesnar of it.
Yeah. So I feel like a lot of people in the wrestling community have this moment when watching the product at any year or point in watching it where they're just like, oh, I'm done. Where it's just like a light bulb moment of, I'm done. I'm over it for a while. I'm going to step away. I'm going to check something else out. I'm going to start a new hobby. I'll check back in a little while. As soon as Brock's music hit, everybody was excited for a second. Even I was like, oh shit, it's Brock. And then I look at you and I'm like, oh fuck, it's Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, your lizard brain turned off in real time.
Yeah. How are they justifying this? Like, Brock Lesnar is coming back, I'm amazed he didn't come out with Vince McMahon flanked on his arm. Like, there's nothing sacred anymore.
Well, they flat out said, unless there's a criminal conviction, it's fine, yeah. Which I don't think Vince has been...
Not yet. It's still in trial. Like, it has not been settled yet. There has been no criminal conviction as of yet. Nick Khan's a piece of shit.
I think it's just civil at this point. I don't know enough about that.
I don't know. Because I haven't been looking because it sucks to read about.
Yeah. So...
It hurts. It hurts as a fan. It really just felt in that moment that WWE was like, fuck you and you're stupid for being a fan. Especially to the women.
I think Brian Zane of Wrestling With Regret really summarized a lot of our feelings. And funny enough, he filmed that before the Brock return.
Yeah. But he's right. Everything he said was right.
Of modern discourse about wrestling is horrible. And it's so partially toxic. The reason why I deleted my Twitter.
Yes. Yes. That is a huge reason why we deleted Twitter. Like, the only reason we log on to Twitter now is to post about... I'm sorry saying this out loud. We post about our episode. I respond to replies. I don't scroll. I don't want to be part of it because it is so nasty and toxic. Something that is supposed to be and has been escapism for us for the last 6 years has just been muddied more than it already ever was.
Yeah, and
it's not fun anymore.
We talked offline about Cage Match, the guy who runs that, being like, mm-hmm. guys, knock it off.
Yeah, this is not a unique experience that we're holding. Like, a lot of people in this community are fucking fed up with toxic brain rot screen babies. Like, I can't do it.
I will. I'll close this bit on a lighter note. Separately, it's not the Fed. I know that's a more of a UK thing. People call WWE the Fed. It's not been WWF for 23 years.
I think that calling it the Fed is literally just like historic, you know?
It's been 23 years.
I know. People that I work with are still calling the software that I use the name that it got booted from 15 years ago. Some people are just rooted in habit and they're just not going to change. I did not leave SummerSlam feeling good about the company, the business, the industry. I left SummerSlam saying, what's AEW doing? And that's not what you want to be thinking when you're leaving a pay-per-view that you spent hundreds of dollars to go see.
Yeah, but the problem is then you're still back in the discourse.
I don't even want to be part of the AEW discourse. I don't want to talk about this online. I want to watch. Like, yeah, I'll tune into Dynamite. Like, it's on HBO. I got HBO. I'll watch it. I don't want to watch WWE right now. We didn't watch The Raw. We haven't watched SmackDown. I'm not interested in watching it right now. I still feel like this was a giant middle finger specifically to all female fans. It hurts. It sucks. So I'm happy to not be talking about the WWE today.
So with all the negativity out of the way, right, Emily?
Sure.
We are actually here to talk about the October 30th, 2000 WCW Monday Nitro.
Yeah, let's talk about a different company that has its own problems and negativity and just bad shows. Let's go.
What's WCW?
That hurt more than anything. And like, when they were just reading the description, I was like, oh, I could turn around and be like, yeah, that's my podcast. And then when they're like, what's WCW? I was like, this is a longer conversation. I just want to go to my car. I'm not entertaining it.
The one saving grace is we did not watch this live, so it didn't make us feel as old as possible.
True. Yeah. That is true. If we watched WCW in 2000 as like conscious adults, I think I probably would have, my back would have just been thrown out in that moment.
Apparently, one of my coworkers recently found a ticket stub that he went to a show in Baltimore in 98.
Jeez.
And they looked at the show and it was like, there were only 4 matches on that Nitro.
Oh, yeah. Four matches? Was it like a house show?
No, it was a Nitro.
Whoa.
It would have been before our timeline, but...
Yeah.
So today's Nitro is the immediate follow-up from Halloween Havoc 2000, so there is no weather report today.
Wow.
Now, Halloween Havoc was in Vegas.
Yes.
Tonight's Nitro is in Irvine, California, which I'm going to have to look up because I'm like, where is Irvine, California?
I feel like it's near LA.
It's just south of there. It's right by Laguna Beach.
Sure.
Okay, so it is a metropolitan area because holy shit is the attendance terrible for this show.
Yeah. It's like obviously terrible too. It's like embarrassing.
There are 1,454 people in attendance, for a 5,600-seat arena. Of the 1,400 there, apparently only 768 paid.
Woof.
And of the free tickets, apparently only a third of the ones they gave out showed up.
Woof.
So, literally, they cannot even get people in the building for free.
For free. Oh, man.
That said, ratings-wise, the show is up a little bit from a 2.2 to a 2.5.
Ooh, goody.
Raw still did a 4.9.
Yikes. 4.9 feels like that's a bad show for Raw, isn't it?
I think they're going to have around 5 for the rest of the war.
Is there still a war, Nick?
Technically, both these shows are on at the same time.
But is it a war?
For an hour. I almost spoke cursed plans into existence. Where I'm like, well, I mean, WWE was real bad during 95. Was it worse than this? With Diesel versus King Mabel?
Well, we're going to find out how bad WCW was in 96.
As in, it was apparently quite good because that's what they went on the string of dominance.
I mean, we could watch Raw just for funsies.
Oh, actually, sorry, it's not on Netflix. We can't.
Oh, sorry. Oh my God, you're right. Yeah, we can't even watch it, can we?
Oh, just to note, with the whatever the fuck is going on with the ESPN deal next year and all the back catalog and everything, we're going to be fine. We have ways to watch stuff. So I have some brief backstage notes before we get into this show. Apparently, Scott Hall was arrested for probation violation.
He's on probation?
Yeah, he has a couple of DUIs and incidents and general things. But yeah, he got arrested because he apparently never did his required community service.
Shocker.
ECW still has no national TV deal, but still has their local market TV show. I think we kind of noted that.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about them next episode because that is an ECW pay-per-view.
Woo!
Linda McMahon has confirmed that WWF is trying to buy WCW, so they're fully...
You mean Secretary of Education, Linda McMahon?
And apparently, on the upcoming Thunder, Lance Storm versus Norman Smiley is going to be so bad that Lance Storm went on his website and apologized.
Wow.
So
ooh, that's something to look forward to.
I know. I'm like, ooh, I kind of want to watch that now.
Is it really going to be that bad, or is it just not up to Lance Storm's standards? Because he's kind of a perfectionist.
I don't know, but I'll let you know in 2 episodes.
I'm very excited. I might have to watch that with you.
But yeah, I don't really have much that we didn't already cover at Halloween Havoc. So, Emily, are we ready to get into year 3 of the podcast content?
I guess, yeah, let's go.
It's not a full year.
It's been a long 3 years, brother.
I mean, I guess, in actuality, because we're doing the invasion, it'll be just a little over the 3-year mark.
I said what I said. It's going to be a long 3 years.
Nitro opens with Nitro Stills from Halloween Havoc. But then see a limo is here, and oh, there's going to be a new CEO, making the commissioner match mostly pointless.
Yep. Why did we do that commissioner match? Spoiler, the new CEO is not Mike Sanders or the Cat, so it doesn't matter.
I don't know about you. This one definitely felt like they finally went, okay, we don't need to stick with all the Russo stuff. We can keep them on a simmer, but we're going to start a new dish.
Yeah. I think they got bored with the story.
We then get the Nitro opening. We have Tony Schiavone, Mark Madden, and bless up Scott Hudson on commentary.
Thank God. I never thought I would say thank God for Scott Hudson being back on commentary.
He's not even good. He's just not Stevie Ray.
He's just not Stevie Ray. That is the only bar that needed to be cleared here.
During the opening pyro, though, when they're cutting around the arena, you can see there is nobody here.
No.
I like, behind commentary, it is blacked out.
It is just a sea of black, and... at least it doesn't look like empty chairs, but it's just a black void.
Depending on the angle, sometimes it's like, oh, over by the stage, it is just empty chairs.
Yeah, certain shots they didn't really cover.
We go pretty quickly into our first match, which is Mark Jindrak and Sean O'Hare versus Billy Kidman and Rey Mysterio. I don't know if this is a tag title match. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. On paper, not a bad match.
Yeah, but on paper, seeing Rey Mysterio is nice. In reality, he has a weird new mustache and goatee.
Yeah.
I don't know. We saw him last night.
How fast does his hair grow?
And he's wrestling in like the full horns. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on, dude?
Yeah.
Conan joins commentary and has a Sunday paper with him that has an article on Mark Jindrak.
Cool.
He's very upset about this article.
We never even really get what the article was about.
Oh, he's trying to put himself over, Emily.
Because somebody wrote an article about him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, Tigress is here. She joins commentary. I think she's like one line.
Yeah.
Ray slaps Jindrak to start, so Jindrak just clotheslines him. Jindrak hits a suplex on Kidman, and Ray hits a springboard head scissors, and then tags Kidman back in, who hits a vaulting head scissors. Jindrak does a rope-assisted arm drag that, like, I don't know if he was meaning to do the like a Lucha Libre style thing, but he did not succeed.
I don't know what either of them are going for in this.
O'Hare tags in, and Conan calls them salad tossers. Kidman hits a pop-up dropkick. Ray blind tags in for a springboard sunset flip. And admittedly, he's so blind tags in that I'm like, did you? You just kind of came in. But Ray gets so much distance on the sunset flip jump that Sean O'Hare's head like hits the bottom rope.
Ooh.
O'Hare hits a press Michinoku driver, and Conan calls Jindrak gay again for...
for reasons.
They do... well, commentators have a conversation about like... oh, in the article, it notes that, you know, him and his buddies would, like, wrestle in his bedroom. And they're like, oh, that sounds pretty gay, doesn't it? What else are they doing in there?
And he's saying this when they were, like, children.
Yeah. Tony Schiavone tries to find a seam. He does not. Of, yeah, it's just something kids do. They fuck around. And also, don't try this at home. You should not do that. But yeah, just like, you know.
Kids fucking around. Yeah. What? There's nothing wrong with that.
I got my pinky dislocated swatting down a dropkick.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Have you told me the story?
A while ago.
Was it your cousin?
No, no.
Who did this?
Some idiot.
Yeah, I don't think you've ever told me you got your pinky dislocated. Did you have to go to the hospital? Or did you just pop it back in?
I think I went to the hospital.
Oh.
We lied and said I tripped during manhunt.
Oh.
Because we didn't want the trampoline to go away.
Wait, do your parents know this story yet?
Oh, my, it was my parents' trampoline, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, it was a friend's trampoline. Back to the match, Jindrak vaults Ray onto O'Hare's shoulders, who hits a slingshot sit-out powerbomb. And even Conan's like, all right, that was pretty good.
Yeah, that's like the one really good move in this match, honestly. This match didn't have a lot going for it.
Yeah, Jindrak hits a springboard clothesline, but then gets kicked in the corner, and Ray hits a head scissors. Ray makes a kind of hot tag to Kidman. There's no pop.
It's not hot.
They didn't really like build to it. It was just like, all right, we're going into this sequence now. Kidman hits a diving back elbow, then hits drop kicks and Kidman faction. He goes for a 10-punch spot, but Jindrak stops him for his torture rack neck breaker, which got a fun new name. Did you catch this?
No.
It's the MJ Delight.
Oh.
Conan has no idea who MJ would be in this.
Wait. What? He hasn't put a D, didn't put Mark Jindrak together?
They're like, oh, I thought it'd be somebody like Michael Jordan. Oh, no, with these two, it would be Michael Jackson.
Mark Jindrak! Yeah. You dumb fucks. Oh, no.
Ray breaks up the pin with a springboard leg drop. O'Hare dodges a Filthy Animals attack with a backflip from the corner and then hits a double clothesline. Ray dodges a Jindrak splash, who just mostly seems to miss. Ray doesn't really get out of the way of that one.
No.
Kidman hits a BK bomb, and then the animals hit their nutcracker move, and the referee takes a while to get down for the count, counts one, and is just looking up at the ramp. Someone has missed their cue. And it's the Boogie Knights, because Alex Wright comes out from the stage, Rey Mysterio dives onto him. We then get Disco sneaking in the back of the ring and hits a last dance on Kidman. It should be noted, the way Disco came... is directly in front of Conan.
So Conan should have absolutely seen him coming.
Conan then gets up and proceeds to run the wrong way towards Alex Wright.
This man's a winner.
Jindrak pins Kidman, and then everyone is just kind of walking in circles. Alex Wright attacks Kidman. Conan goes to attack Alex Wright and is hitting some punches, and Alex Wright just walks out of the ring normally while getting punched, which is just a weird visual. It's like, what? Yeah. No, like, sell a little bit,
nah.
Like, roll out of the ring.
Nah, we don't need that.
And yeah, and then just, that's the match.
Cool. God.
Yeah, like, the match, until the finish, wasn't bad.
It was entirely fine. I need to stop thinking every time I see Ray and Kidman come out that it's going to be a 5-star match. I break my own heart with that every time. This was entirely fine, but it was disappointing because of my own expectations and standards that I set.
Yeah, I'm still enjoying Sean O'Hare. I think he's really improving, and I think...
this team is not bad.
Yeah, of the Natural Born Thrillers, he's the one that I'm like,
I do keep confusing them with The Perfect Event. You can flip Sean O'Hare and Sean Stasiak, and I would not notice for a few weeks.
I'd say if you flip Sean O'Hare and Mark Jindrak, that's a little closer.
Yeah, probably. But Sean to Sean, I don't know. I don't think I would notice for a while.
I did note they actually bothered having the ref distracted for Disco's interference.
They did.
Despite the fact that the ref kind of looks at him and then has to turn away.
It was unnecessary.
But they made some sort of effort for a distracted ref.
Sure.
We'll see if that continues throughout the night.
It won't.
We then go backstage. Kevin Nash and Mike Sanders are chatting. Scott Steiner comes in, starts choking Mike Sanders, then goes, "Hey, what's up, Kev?" And they like fist bump.
Yep.
All right.
I liked this. This is a good segment because fuck Mike Sanders.
Steiner wants a title shot tonight. Sanders agrees and Steiner leaves. Nash is like, "Yeah, so, you know, you got to be careful." Cut away.
The audio continues to like continues on for like a second more, but we do cut back to the main arena and you hear the audio through the arena for like a second. It's so janky.
Tony Schiavone's like, "What did he mean by that last bit?" I'm like, "Maybe you should have left in the audio, Tony."
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't have cut away. We'll never know.
It's going to match two. It's Reno versus a pile of glitter known as Kiwi.
Oh my God. The glitter on this man.
Get away from my house. You're not allowed in.
He infects the entire rest of the show.
Yeah.
It is everywhere. So, you know how when Triple H comes out and does his entrance, he pours the water on his head and he like spits some?
Yeah.
Imagine that, but it was glitter. That's what Kiwi looks like. Yeah. He is wet with glitter.
What I'm picturing is they wanted to pour a little bit of glitter on him and it ended up like a Kevin.
The cap fell off.
No, a Kevin from the Office like chili thing. Which is everywhere.
Oh my God. It was disgusting. And then he comes out and he cuts this like really fiery, like, "I'm a fuck you up" promo.
Yeah. He's mad because Reno hit a roll of the dice on Paisley on Thunder.
Sure.
Kiwi was so mad he didn't interfere at the match at Halloween Havoc. And yeah, he shouts at Reno, challenges him, and he fucks up his catchphrase because he has his, "Don't make me angry, you wouldn't like me when I'm angry." But he's like, "Don't make me angry, you already made me angry."
But this is just, this paired with being drenched in glitter, wearing a frilly little skirt.
Brought out a pink trash can.
Yeah, a pink trash can. This does not make sense. This does not match in my brain. So, I don't like it.
We recently recorded part two of Rope Opera.
On the Patreon. $5 a month gets you that and a whole bunch of other stuff.
And part, a very brief part of that was talking about Ring of Glory. So we watched the Wrestling with Regret video on Ring of Glory and you're like, "Why is Kiwi still wearing a dress?"
A lot of people from WCW who were, I guess, buddy-buddy with Vince Russo followed him to this venture. So there were a lot of people in Ring of Glory that I did not know were in Ring of Glory. But Kiwi, he has an opportunity to not be this character. He can do anything. He's a good wrestler. He's a good promo. You can do anything, brother. And he still has the glitter and the skirt. And like, if you want that to be your thing and you want to be, you know, a drag queen character of sorts, great. I don't think you do, though. I don't know. When you're cutting promos like this and you're dressed in the outfit that they're putting you in, I feel like it doesn't match. Like, Lenny and Lodi, their character and their outfits matched. You know what I mean? This does not.
Yeah, at one point, Mark Madden is like, "Kiwi reminds me of an angry Liberace." And I, like, at that moment, I went, "I wonder if they initially considered Lenny Lane for this."
Probably. Yeah. Probably, yeah.
Oh, and last note on that book before we move on. Apparently, Mike Sanders is one of the most misunderstood people in all of wrestling.
Second most misunderstood person in WCW behind Vince Russo. It's a hell of a book. Go over on our Patreon for both parts, one and two.
This match starts. Kiwi throws Reno around ringside, hits a diving sunset flip from the barricade for a two. Reno counters a pile driver and is now covered in glitter.
It's immediate. One move. The first time that Reno touches Kiwi, he is now covered in glitter.
Reno hits weapon shots in the ring, slingshots Kiwi into a trash can in the corner. As Kiwi throws Reno around ringside, commentary wonders, "You think Kiwi's jealous about not being the Natural Born Thrillers, despite during his promo going, 'I don't want to be part of your group'?"
I don't think so. I don't think he's jealous.
Kiwi chokes Reno with a kendo stick and then brings him up the ramp. And as he's doing this, we have an important update. Tony Schiavone notes that we are back to traditional hardcore rules. So you don't have to start in the back and then come.
We gave up on that, though, like two hardcore matches ago.
They also go on to note, well, like, well, these rules still need some fixing because the Natural Born Thriller has come out and beat the shit out of Kui Wei. So it's like, oh, all this outside interference. That's not fair.
I mean, it's true.
So Kui Wei gets beat down. Jindrak and O'Hare do their double hip toss from the floor into the ring. Reno hits a roll of the dice on a trash can lid and wins. Post-match, the Thrillers hit a little bit more offense, and commentators like, someone needs to get this under control. It'd be Mike Sanders, but he's right there, not doing anything.
Ugh.
Thoughts on this match?
I don't have any. I got so bored by this match by the end of it. Like,
yeah, it's just weapons, 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 swap.
I was so focused on like the tracking of the glitter. Like, that took so much of my attention away from this match. But Jindrak and O'Hare are putting in a lot of work tonight. I mean, two matches in a row, they're doing work.
And, well, they didn't even have to teleport this time.
That's true. They were already just in Gorilla, I guess.
So let's move on to our next segment that is just, it's something. We get Mean Gene in the ring, bringing out a true American and new U.S. champion, General Rection.
Real American hero. It's huge erection.
Rection still has the Canadian flag sticker on the title when he comes out. Rection's like, hold on, before we do this, I know three guys and one beautiful blonde who should be out here for this. And so the MAA come out, and their theme is not dubbed.
Rection's is.
Yeah.
The rest of MIA is not. Very strange. And listening to that version of their theme, I don't really understand why it's dubbed in the first place. It doesn't sound that close to a song.
It's close to something, but I can't pinpoint it.
I don't know what.
So once everyone's in the ring, Rection's finally like, all right, I've been waiting to do this, and rips the sticker off, and it comes off real clean.
Yeah, it does.
I really want it to be like a price sticker where it's like, oh, man, I gotta...
Like, hold on, I gotta get the goo gone.
Then General Rection gives a shout out to his two daughters, and then he's like, Conan, Mysterio, Kidman, you know, all the C-team players. Fuck you.
All right.
Yeah.
If I was Ray, I'd be like, all right.
Yeah, fucking...
Fuck you!
Who's the B...
who's the B team?
Scott Norton, Emily. Jesus Christ.
Who?
Oh, I have a Scott Norton update later in the podcast. Yeah, but like, all the C team guys, and like, Direction notes, like, if I retired now, I could retire happy, more or less. And Mark Madden did have a funny line of, see, I told you he was a quitter.
Jesus.
Mean Gene then goes, well, you know, everyone in WWE respects you and appreciates you, and to show you, I'm gonna start us off here. And he like starts like kind of a slow clap, and the, I guess, 60% of the WWE roster just comes out to the stage to applaud Huge Erection.
Why? This read so much of like a retirement, a hang up your boots sort of thing. Like, I've done all I need to do here. Goodbye. My planet needs me now. Like, it feels like he's going away forever.
Yeah, they didn't set this up enough. And we noted that at the pay-per-view, too, that it's like...
Why do I care about this man?
Yeah, and I did note Jamie Noble rocking the Pillman 2000 event shirt. Booker T comes out in the background, gets no mic time. Because Goldberg grabs the mic, and he calls him Hugh Morris immediately. And I'm like, bud, Brandon, come on.
Good, the name Hugh G. Rection is stupid for this sort of context.
Oh, he continues the appreciation sentiment and like, it's like, hey, my streak had to start somewhere. Like,
that, I beat you.
Yeah, that was a weird, like thank you, but like...
Thank you, but remember, I can kick your ass.
But like, that weird? I think it's meant to be like, thanks for putting me over for like my first match, but then that's breaking kayfabe, so I don't fucking know. Lance Storm then appears on the Titantron behind them and tells Rection to enjoy his shallow victory because you got the title, you got the girl, but you didn't beat me. So Storm wants a title shot and Rection says, you know, I don't want you to think I celebrated last night. I got a rematch. I'm like, but enjoy your life a little bit.
Yeah, you can go out and have a drink and party with the boys for a second. Like,
it's not like you're wrestling tonight.
Right. You're just out here getting showered with celebration.
Yeah, so... Rection has a signed contract for a rematch at Mayhem. Goldberg tells Hugh, shut this punk's mouth for good.
Jeez.
Yeah, so Rection tells Storm to kiss his red, white, and blue ass, and then the roster goes to the ring as we head to commercial. I think with the right character, this would have been good.
This just felt weird.
Huge erection.
This is weird.
Yeah. I think Booker should have gotten this after he won at Bash at the Beach.
Yeah. Yeah, he should have. No, he should have gotten something like this after Bash at the Beach.
Hugh Morris gets it for a mid-card title.
Sure. Yeah, for defeating Canada.
Yeah, and he pinned Jim Duggan, who's...
American.
Backstage, the limo is still here. We then get David Flair coming out to the ring with a sealed DNA test. No Stacey Keibler with him. David reads the results. There is a 99.9% chance that Buff Bagwell is not the father.
What?
M.I. Smooth then comes out.
Why the fuck is he here?
Doing his best Obi-Wan Kenobi fucking impression here of what I told you was true from a certain point of view.
Oh, he's my like, God.
I said what was on the taste would be interesting. I didn't say it would show who the father was. Scott Hudson in the commentary is like, that's a lie. It wasn't even like outraged. It was just like, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah. Yeah. You're just gaslighting me now.
So he's going to fight David tonight because everybody's mad at each other. David's like, I don't want to. Smooth hits him from behind and the bell rings. And it's like, I guess you're in a match. Smooth works David over in the corner, sends him to the floor. Smooth then slams David and almost lands on his head on a jumping splash.
Woof.
How? He literally, Smooth is going for just a straight up jumping splash. And somehow, like, tips down way too far and almost, like, spikes himself on his own jump. I don't know how.
So, not to give him any credit, but this is how I gave myself a concussion when I was a kid. Or, I thought I gave myself a concussion. I didn't end up. When I was doing, like, diving practice into the pool. Like, I was so focused on diving. Like, we had, like, a hula hoop up. We had to dive through the hula hoop. I was so focused on diving through the hula hoop, I wasn't focused on staying flat. So, I just nosedived through it. So, like, maybe he was so focused on where he had to land, he wasn't focusing on how he got there.
Smooth is a trained wrestler, by the way.
That's crazy to me.
Because we're about to see some Smooth in 1996.
Really?
I did not realize that he is the wrestler Ice Train, who is part of the team Fire and Ice, alongside tag team partner...
Scott Norton.
Scott Norton.
God damn it. I'm not getting a picture of M.I. Smooth on our wall.
No, I'm going to get one of Ice Train, obviously.
Ice Train sounds like a knockoff villain in a wannabe Marvel comic or something.
Yeah, listen, we're also going to get Glacier, who I think is unrelated to Ice Train.
Jesus Christ.
Who's a Mortal Kombat ripoff.
Does Glacier stop the Ice Train? It's like a Titanic thing. They run into the Glacier on the train.
No, I don't think so. We're going to have a fun time with Glacier on the on the Patreon.
Are we?
Oh, finish the match. Smooth hits a sit-out full Nelson bomb and wins.
Woo!
Why? Why does this have to be a match? And as we noted, we're going to see him again.
Yeah.
This is David Flair's last match we are going to see.
Really?
Yes.
This is the end of David Flair?
Wrestling.
Matches?
Yeah. Again, I think I forever told you on the air or not that he's like continues to beat angles until like fucking March or February of 2001. And I'm like, all right, well, we're
that's
not done
crazy.
With him. Yeah. But yeah, he'll have a couple matches on Thunder. But this is it for us seeing him actually wrestle.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
He didn't bring anything to the table, you know, leave him. Leave him be. Be done.
He never really got any better.
He didn't.
You know what? That's probably a lie. I'm sure if we went back and watched some of the early matches.
He might have gotten a little bit better.
I remember him not knowing how to run the ropes, and he at least kind of got that down.
Yeah, and he is better at talking now, a little. He has to have, like, at least by osmosis, learned something.
Yes, this is David Flair's last match we'll see. We are not done with the Stacy baby storyline, apparently. We're going to get more on that. Apparently, we're going to keep always just like, oh, little more, little tidbit here.
I don't care.
Yeah.
It's going to go for 9 months and then we're going to see the baby, aren't we?
One, the show doesn't have 9 months.
I know.
Two, there is going to be a payoff to this that...
Is it a payoff?
No. It's an acknowledgement. Well, let's move on. We have a paid ad in the middle of this show. Jimmy Hart has paid for the following airtime.
This was weird.
I'm the best manager ever. Just ask me. And I want to fight radio DJs, male or female, and just issues an open challenge.
Weird.
He's the man who knocked out Andy Kaufman.
I guess, was it a knockout? Did he beat Andy Kaufman like that?
I mean, I admittedly, I don't know enough about the Andy Kaufman time, because I just associate coffin with Jerry Lawler, not Jimmy Hart, but Jimmy's probably in there somewhere. It's just leading to Man Cow. I don't know if there's anything in between now and then.
Is there any other radio DJ that even gets teased?
I have no idea. Mm. Would you believe that's not heavily documented?
Fair. This whole era is not heavily documented.
Yeah, the Wikipedia is, I think it's getting worse somehow.
How is that possible?
We didn't get the Boogie Knights coming out to the ring with a mic. Disco Amelia notes, I don't really know why we're out here.
Cool.
Mike Sanders told us to come out and he just kind of riffs on a dead crowd and they don't bite on any of the weird cheap heat he's going for.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know why I'm out here. And the crowd is like, I don't know why I'm here.
We didn't get Goldberg's music hitting.
So as soon as Goldberg's music hits, I'm like, oh, we're about to witness a murder. Both these men are about to die.
Well, I was asking, why is he a heel lackey? They keep doing this where Mike Sanders uses Goldberg as his personal bodyguard, more or less.
Yeah.
But Goldberg just clears both guys out of the ring and is like, this is my time now. Dude, you need to build towards 177. Just pin him. Oh no, the Boogie Knights won't be credible. Just fucking beat him real quick also, and then like, do your segment.
What was the point of having the Boogie Knights come out, period? If Goldberg's just going to take over the time, like literally what was the point?
I think it was meant to be, he's cool, he's stealing his, I don't know.
That doesn't work. That just feels like a waste and bad time management.
Yeah, but like, why were they out here at all? Like,
that's what I'm asking. I don't know.
It was just for Goldberg to punch him a little. It wasn't even like, oh, he had a big spear or anything. Like, what? I don't know.
No, I really expected them both to get speared and counted. That's why I was like, oh, they're about to die. We're about to witness a murder. We barely even witnessed a glancing blow.
Yeah, Goldberg grabs a mic and is like, I'm still figuring out who Goldberg really is, but Chronic, you found out.
What?
And I'm going to break the record again. Everyone's next.
If everyone is next, no one is. What does that mean?
Full roster gauntlet match.
That's the only way it could be everyone is next.
I mean, Kevin Nash basically did it.
Yeah, let's remember that one. I feel like I'm getting more cynical the longer we talk about this episode.
The next segment's not going to fucking help that. We then see a door with CEO on it. So I guess CEO has come out from the limo. Because remember there was a limo?
Yeah.
And the door opens, and admittedly, we have the ability to pause this.
Was clearly supposed to be a shot from the neck down of a man in a suit, panned down to like maybe his hands and like walking out to the ring. You were never supposed to see this person's face. They start the shot too high.
Woo! It's Ric Flair.
It's fucking stupid.
But yeah, we also see the suit he's in. And we come back from commercial, Cruiserweight champion Mike Sanders is coming out. He's in the suit. And it's a completely different color. Tony Schiavone's like, no, he can't be the CEO.
There's some guy in the audience that has a sign that says Mike Sanders is a god. I must ask, god of what? What did this man do to earn your respect or deem him a deity?
He's like, so misunderstood, Emily.
God of what? A fucking hot dog? I don't, like, a used car lot? What the fuck would he be a god of?
Scott Hudson points out the different colored suit, but then Tony Schiavone just proceeds to ignore him.
Yeah.
Mike Sanders says, last night, Kat felt the 1-2-3. Nope.
Sure didn't.
No, he did not. It was a 10 count.
Did anybody watch
Also,
Halloween
it was a
Havoc?
Count out. So it wasn't like he was knocked down for it.
I don't think anybody watched the show.
He was in the match.
I don't think anybody watched. I think he can lie and get away with it.
Before anything else happens, Sanders announces tonight's main event will be Booker T versus Mike Awesome versus Scott Steiner for the world title. So, all right, decent match.
Sure.
Sanders then is like, I've heard some rumors about a new CEO. One, it's confirmed. Two, you're the commissioner. You should know a little
a
fucking
rumor?
Something.
Yeah. I would hope it's not a rumor.
But Sanders says the new CEO is almost guaranteed to drop out of WCW faster than Sean Stasiak in a spelling bee.
Because he's stupid.
I guess.
Get it?
We then get Ric Flair's music hitting, and Maybe it's because he's kind of just been around, or the fact that there's 1,400 people here, but there is no pop.
No one gives a fuck.
No. And.
But also, Rick doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, I feel like somehow this crowd saw the promo he's about to do and went, yeah, we're not popping for that.
No.
So Flair grabs a mic and he's like, I'm retired and I'm the CEO. And I think I put too much energy into that.
You did.
He is so low energy.
I'm retired.
Get this man CEO. Some Coke. Like,
You mean Coca-Cola, right?
No. No. Give this man a Celsius. That might be a high noon.
God, I keep every time I open a Celsius, I'm like, is this the one? No.
Emily, you're over 21. You can just go buy high noon.
I know, but it's more fun if it's a forbidden high noon, okay?
Flair puts over Sanders, like, you know, talented guy, you know, good talker. But you and the Thrillers have to start following the rules or you're not going to wrestle.
Okay. Can we hold to that?
Flair,
please,
blatantly lies when saying WCW currently has the greatest array of talent of all time. Nope.
Yep, that is a straight up provable lie.
Flair tells Sanders to leave, but first books the Cat versus Mike Sanders with no outside interference allowed.
Good.
Sanders then leaves, and Flair says he's not here to be the nature boy anymore, and Woo. Puts over WCW. He's like, hey, we have some problems. We're going to work on them. We're going to make this show better. Like, this is what you say at the fucking earnings call, not...
Right?
Not in front of 1,400 people who don't want to be here.
14 people.
Not in front of 700 paid fans.
Yikes.
Flair then notes that Lex Luger came to him and Flair asked him for a favor, which was the helping out David Flair the night before.
Sure.
Apparently Luger went a little too far, and so Flair apologizes to Buff.
Okay.
And
what did he do that was too far?
He attacked Buff and stole his blood.
Oh, sure, the blood theft. How could I forget?
Flair then notes he's going to keep his word to Luger. Flair never notes what this is. Commentary's like, I think that means Luger's back. And Luger has a line coming up that I think Flair was meant to clarify what he actually did.
Cool.
We then get Jeff Jarrett coming out, and his mic doesn't work.
Nope. He's walking back and forth, pacing on the stage, talking into a mic that is off.
Yep. And Ric Flair just goes, I can't hear you. Shades is sold out 97.
Good Lord.
The Miss NWO. Eh?
Eh?
So
I'm like losing interest in the show as we're talking about it.
So Jared has a mic and he's like, this is the show you're running. I can't even get a mic that works. And then Ludy goes right into the verbiage she had before.
Yep. What the fuck was this?
I don't know. But he asked Ric Flair, do you ever go away?
We're still asking that in 2025, Jeff. The answer is no.
Jeff tells Flair that Flair isn't the chosen one. Flair responds by saying, the only time you're the chosen one is when you're in a room full of girls.
I think he meant that to be an insult.
He did.
That just means that he can pull girls.
I think what he was going for is the only way I'd choose you like as like a partner or like who would win the fight.
Is if you're the only option?
Yeah. But yeah, it just sounds like all these women are choosing Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah, it sounds like he can pull girls. It sounds like he's got game.
Ask Kurt Angle's wife.
Okay, we just talked about him losing his first wife, okay? I don't want to think about that part of the history.
And Emily and I had the realization that it's very possible that Vince Russo has met Taylor Swift.
Yes! The timelines match up. Russo spent a lot of time at the Jarrett residence in early 2000s when a young Miss Swift was a nanny or a babysitter. It's possible, brother. And what a crazy world that would be.
Flair then says he's the boss. Jared threatens him. And Flair's like, I'm retired. I'm not going to fight you.
I am retired.
Admittedly, we do not get a Ric Flair match until March. So this does hold for a little bit.
Retired from in the ring, I guess. Sure.
Flair then goes, Jared, you're a great wrestler. But I'm retired. I'm the CEO. Jared, you're a great wrestler. But I'm retired. I'm the CEO. Music hits. Jared, you're a great wrestler, but I'm retired. I'm the CEO. What the fuck is going on?
I think he's like actively having a stroke as we're watching.
Who is this man? Get him out of here.
He doesn't want to be here. He can read the room. He can feel the energy. He's like, this is a sinking ship. I need to get the fuck out of here. But he doesn't. I know he doesn't.
I mean, we've talked before about like, oh, him losing his confidence in WCW. And it's like, I don't know if he has any here.
I don't know.
But this was just low energy. And usually Ric Flair can offset being incoherent.
Yeah.
By bringing the energy. I mean, that is literally just what his TNA promos are.
Yeah. The thing is, he's not incoherent here.
No. I understood every word he said.
And I think that's the problem.
I didn't like it.
I don't like hearing what he says. I want to just match his energy, not hear what he's saying.
Are you saying Ric Flair should be seen, not heard?
No, I am not. No.
They should be heard, not understood. Back from commercial, out comes Lex Luger. Luger grabs a mic and basically says, like, hey, the true superstars are coming back.
Woo!
Luger then pops off his top, and he's like, all right, I'm back full time. But he says that by starting, what Ric Flair meant to say was...
Oh.
And the fucking roid belly on Lex Luger here.
He also just doesn't look happy to be here. He doesn't look good. He doesn't look happy. He doesn't look healthy. Yeah, the roid belly's insane. This is a bad version of Lex Luger.
Yeah, I know. I know there ends up being drug problems. I don't know if that's already started. Luger tells Buff that he was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and he's out here to make a statement, and he challenges Goldberg. So immediately, Buff Bagwell's music hits.
Sure, that makes sense. Why not?
Buff is like, no, you're not done with me. You fucked me over, dude.
Yeah, get out of here. I'm going to fight you first. I'll fight you right now. I won't make you wait.
So Luger's like, all right, my gear's in the back. Like, I can get that match made, I'm pretty sure. And Buff's like, you know, I had a hunch you'd say that, so I brought a referee, and so...
We're doing it right now, in your jeans.
Yep, and Buff's in street clothes, doesn't take his top off, which I'm like, is Luger bigger and you don't want to be next to him?
Yeah, it's very possible.
So we have Buff Bagwell versus Lex Luger. Buff hits an early swing neckbreaker, does his strut. Buff ducks a clothesline, hits a double arm DDT, and then lines up for the blockbuster, but Lex Luger... kind of pulls the ref in the way. Buff kinda? Misses by quite a bit.
Yeah, I don't know.
So the ref's down. They brawl to the floor. Luger hits a chair shot to the gut and then a chair shot to the back. Luger gets Buff in a torture rack and wins. Like, that's it.
So did he tap out? Did he give up?
A lot of times it's like a verbal submission with that kind of stuff. But
it didn't look like he got a verbal... Whatever. It doesn't matter.
Who cares? Did actually bother having the ref distracted for the chair shot. So
okay. What you said at the beginning stands true. Whatever.
Yeah, and the Quiwi match was a hardcore match. Mm-hmm. M.I. Smooth and David Flair didn't have any chair stuff, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if the rules are coming back.
We'll see. I don't have faith. I think that it's going to stay pre-Lex rules.
Post-match, Luger once again calls out Goldberg, like, yep, I'm done with Buff. Don't focus on that.
Yep.
Like, they gave Buff some big spots early, but they made him look like a fucking chump.
Yeah, they did.
Like, Luger hit a chair shot and the torture rack, and that was it. That said, actually, I think this might have been a response to him shitting on Hugh Morris.
Yeah.
I think they jobbed him out here.
It's possible. No, Buff just looks pathetic. Like, all of the storylines he's in right now, he just seems like a small man. Like, not in stature, but just, like, in presence. He's just a small man.
I did agree with you, by the way, that like Luger does not look to be in wrestling shape.
No. Yeah, no. Just because you have a roid belly doesn't mean that you're ready to fight, dude. Like, you look... He also just... Like I said, he did not look like he wanted anything to do with this show.
Yeah. Like, this Lex Luger versus Goldberg. I'm like, ooh, I can count the stars on no hands.
Yeah.
Let's go backstage. Pamela Paulshock is with Kevin Nash, Sean Stasiak, and Chuck Palumbo. And like, all right, they all seem to be on the same page again.
These boys better behave, because we had a get-together and we're all on the same page now. They had a little retreat. How cute.
Stasiak apologizes and says, I'm a team player.
Let's see how long that lasts.
Nash slaps Palumbo's ass with like a rolled-up paper. Then if Pam slaps Stasiak's ass, and Nash's like, how about one for me? And then she like does it as they cut away.
It's just weird. He's like... luckily, it does look like he's fucking with her a little bit. He's like, one for me. And then, like, as it's starting to cut away, he's like, just shove that paper up there. And then that's when she, like, laughs and kind of bops him on the butt. It looks like they were just fucking around.
Yeah. Our next match, it's heel versus heel. It's Chronic versus the Perfect Event. Perfect Event come out with Kevin Nash, and Kevin Nash gets distracted mid-entrance by pointing out a Scott Hall cutout.
How did that get into the building?
I don't know. Nash joins commentary. In the match, they almost immediately go to the corner. I'm like, Nash is teaching them. And in one of, like, the first chants of the night, I think we might have gotten We Want Tables earlier.
We did.
But we get We Want Scott Hall chants.
Which is, it gets a funny acknowledgement from Kevin Nash.
Well, after a second, because Nash goes, what are they chanting? And there's a long pause. And then Scott Hudson eventually goes, oh, I think that's a dorm on campus.
Scott Hall. That's a dormitory around here. That's clever. That's funny.
Yeah, he also had a long pause to think of that. Palumbo hits a sidekick after having to shuffle all the way around the ring to hit it on the right side.
Woof.
The Perfect Event hits some double team moves. Brian Clark tags in and works over Palumbo. Stasiak trips up Clark and Palumbo hits a dropkick. Then Stasiak and Brian Clark brawl at ringside as Adams and Palumbo fight in the ring. and we hear commentary react to what is apparently an apron moonsault from Brian Clark.
Oh.
That we don't get to see.
Cool.
Like, I almost thought it was a lie where it's like, oh, you wouldn't believe what the crazy thing he just did.
Cool.
Nash tells Stasiak to walk it off, so Stasiak walks off and leaves the match.
But Kevin Nash says walk it off like four times, and I feel like you even pointed this out, where he was like, he needs to say it loud enough for Stasiak to hear the cue to walk off.
Yeah. Plumbo fights off both members of Chronic for a second, but the numbers game gets to him. Kevin Nash is like, well, if I go in and help them, they won't learn anything.
Sure.
But he does note Sean Stasiak is no longer a thriller. So
the thriller in Manila. Wait, so he's just not, because he walked off, he's no longer a thriller?
I mean, they've also been having issues, so we'll see if that just isn't a thing next week.
Stick. That's not gonna stick.
High times to Chuck Palumbo and Chronic get the pin, and holy shit, this thing with Stasiak needs to go somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, this is so boring. This is what, like week three or four of this storyline?
I think it's been even longer.
Maybe. It's at least been 3 weeks.
Yeah, they're just spinning their wheels. I guess Chronic gets a win again, but yeah, it's heel versus heel, so I don't like anybody here and don't root for anybody here. And just
no, why would I? I don't care.
Kevin Nash might be the closest thing to a face, but he just
barely.
He's Kevin Nash.
He's so Kevin Nash.
He is a guy who a few weeks ago flat out said, I only turn face to have you buy my merch, and then yeah. I go back to being me.
Yeah.
Speaking of merch, we get an ad for the WCW trading card game.
Ooh, yeah, let me buy that right now.
In the back, the microphones are very weird for the start of this segment. Like there's a weird feedback kind of thing. Nash and the Thrillers go to check on Palumbo. Then they go off looking for Stasiak, who's apparently headed out to his car. Mike Sanders is headed the other way to the ring and isn't thrilled that everyone isn't going with him. But there's no outside interference allowed, nope. So who knows. Then get Pamela Paulshock with Booker T. Also low energy.
Yeah. Booker T also doesn't want to be here. I think that everyone is just kind of turning their wheels. Like, they all know that nothing they're doing right now matters, but they don't, like, I want to know the conversations that are going on behind the scenes. Because, like, we know that creative is, like, also turning their wheels because they're like, maybe Russo's coming back. Maybe he's not. We need to pad time for maybe he is, maybe he's not. Like, I think everyone started feeling that in the ring, too, you know?
Yeah, the problem is that no one's really had a great foot forward before this.
No, but it just feels so stagnant now.
I mean, there is also the possible thing of they were in Vegas last night.
Oh, you think they're all hungover?
I mean, it's possible some of them are.
That's fair. That's a good point.
Booker T notes that the triple threat match is actually unfair to Mike Awesome.
Oh.
Because he won a title shot in that shitty Royal Rumble thing in Australia. And it's like, you won a title shot, and they just threw Scott Steiner in here. Like, that's not fair to you. And I'm like, good guy, Booker T. Like, good, you know, good yeah, note there.
That's true. All right.
Because a heel would be like, oh, I defended against two guys. Booker's like, you fucked this guy over.
Yeah. Okay. Come on. Okay.
Booker says, despite getting beat down last night, he's still here. And he points out that Awesome wants to beat up Steiner, maybe even more than Booker does. So
ooh,
we'll get a little bit more of that in a minute. But first, The Cat versus Mike Sanders.
Ooh. On the edge of my seat right now. Cannot wait.
The Cat grabs a mic and immediately starts shitting on Mark Madden. He's like, I saw him naked in the shower earlier. Ugh. We cut to Tony Schiavone, full head in hands. And he chuckles a bit, but that's the laugh of a broken man.
Mm-hmm. This is the, if you don't laugh, you'll cry.
Like, how does Tony Schiavone not turn into the Joker by the end of this?
Right? I think Tony Schiavone has to be the overarching WCW MVP. Because he stuck through it, man.
Like, I get why he doesn't do anything in wrestling for a while.
No.
Sanders comes out, says he doesn't want to fight the Cat, but the Cat punches him and the match starts. Cat hits a big kick in a 10-punch spot. Sanders hits a low blow right in front of the ref, so much for the following the rules.
They're pretty lax.
Ric Flair said to Mike
they're
Sanders,
pretty lax rules.
You and your guys need to follow the rules.
They're pretty lax rules.
Cat and Sanders fight around ringside. Sanders rakes the eyes of the Cat, getting back in the ring, and then locks in like a rear chin sleeper kind of thing. It's not anything impressive, but
no.
They end up doing the arm raise spot. Around this point, commentary is like, huh, where's Miss Jones?
Huh. Good question.
Cat powers up on the third arm drop from the hold, hits some strikes, and then the feline for the win.
I'm very tired of this storyline. Now that we have the CEO, can we drop the Cat Sanders thing? No, why? Why not? Tell me why.
Emily, I looked something up. And
do the red dancing shoes come back? Does Sonny Ono come back?
Probably not to those two. That said, Ernest Miller is going to remain in feuding for the commissionership throughout
until
the rest.
Until the end?
Pretty much.
Why?
Yeah.
No, tell me why.
I don't know. Because what else is he going to do?
Leave. Wrestle, maybe. I don't know. Anything else. Why? Drop this story.
This match was also...
Where's the Sarsa in this story?
This match was also clearly a, oh, Kat, thanks for kind of jobbing last night, even though you didn't. Here's your win back.
I'm so over it. I'm so done with this company. I can't be done with this company. I know I'm not done with this company, but oh my God, I'm done with this company. Why is anybody still watching the show?
Post-match, Shane Douglas appears on the screen. He taunts the Cat, and then they do a camera pullout to reveal Miss Jones.
Sure.
He's just like holding her by the wrist. She waits till the camera pulls out to get loose, slap Shane Douglas, who grabs her, in the middle of grabbing her, manages to call her a bitch, and hits like a backbreaker. And it's like, oh, it's devastating.
Jesus Christ. The most light backbreaker too. Like, it was a nothing backbreaker. Like, good on Shane Douglas for taking care of her, but like, this was the lightest backbreaker.
Kat goes backstage, finds her, and tells a medic to go check on her. He then looks in the camera, threatens Shane Douglas, and then walks away. Like, dude, go on, go look after Miss Jones.
Go check on her.
She's dying for some reason.
For some reason.
So yeah, I guess we're gonna get some Kat and Shane Douglas. Ooh, buddy.
Yay.
Let's go backstage one more time. We got Pamela Paulshock with Mike Awesome.
Yeah, boy.
Awesome does call her Paula. And his plan for the match is him and Booker are going to team up on Steiner. His music is playing through this whole promo.
He's also obviously reading cue cards here. Like, I'm watching his eye line. He's just reading cards.
I don't know why the music was playing. I thought it was going to be like, oh, well, he's going to come out right after. No.
Nope.
Scott Steiner's music hits. It's Scott Steiner versus Mike Awesome versus Booker T for the WCW title. Steiner grabs a mic and notes, I have too much hate in me.
I feel that. Same. Honestly, same.
He also notes, like, I don't need the title to feel like a big deal. Like, I whipped your ass last night. Everyone knows how, like, tough and serious I am. I'm like, yeah, that's a good point.
Correct.
And because of that, he just feels like a character from a different wrestling show. He doesn't belong on this show.
What do you mean?
He doesn't fit with, like, the theme and the energy. He is this big, scary, hateful man, and that doesn't match the energy of anything else going on.
I don't know that I would say that he's, like, a big, hateful man. I don't know about that. I understand what you see, but I don't know that he's, like...
I almost mean as a compliment to him.
Yeah. But,
like, the Lex Luger Buff Bagwell stuff and Scott Steiner being on the same show just, like, feels tonally different.
It is tonally different. I guess you're right. I wish this was the Best of Sex promo. I think that might have tied it all together a little bit more.
I need him to be, like, a little silly.
A little silly. Like, you can still be like, I fucking hate you, but you know who doesn't hate me? Madeja in the bedroom. Like, there we go. I can
take
that.
All my freaks.
Yeah.
Booker T then comes out to the ring and threatens to backhand Madeja for seemingly no reason.
No reason. What did she do? Literally nothing.
The bell rings without Mike Awesome out there. I'm like, okay. Booker hits a sidekick on Steiner in a clothesline. Booker then hits mounted punches, but Steiner follows up with a butterfly suplex. Steiner beats Booker down in the corner and goes for his top rope angle slam, but Mike Awesome finally comes out and hits an electric chair drop on Steiner, followed by a missile dropkick from Booker. Awesome sends Steiner to the floor and then hits Booker. Booker hits an Alabama slam, but Steiner breaks up the pin. Steiner then hits his spinning belly to belly and then a clothesline and flexing elbow and push-ups. Steiner turns into a diving clothesline from Awesome, and Awesome goes up top and hits a diving splash, then wants an Awesome bomb, but Booker hits a Harlem sidekick to Awesome. Ugh, this is fast-paced.
Yeah, it is fast-paced, but this is a good match.
Booker hits a scissor kick and a spin-a-rooney, but walks into a clothesline from Awesome. Steiner T-bones Awesome, then slams Booker on the announce table, which just doesn't break. Awesome headshots Steiner with a chair. Triple threat match, no DQ.
Okay.
That's fine. Then throws him around ringside, but Steiner casually low blows Awesome and then does it blatantly. It was weird of like, ooh, like casual
sneaky,
secret one
nah,
and then
you.
Big, yeah. Booker gets involved, so Steiner low blows him too. Steiner hits his top rope Samoan drop, but Booker breaks up the pin. Booker hits another sidekick on Steiner, but Awesome knocks both men down. Steiner hits an atomic drop and then another T-bone suplex. Scott Steiner then locks in the Steiner recliner, but Booker breaks it up with a Harlem sidekick and then hits a bookend on Mike Awesome for the win.
Woo!
Post-match, Booker knocks Steiner off the apron. Steiner then attacks a handful of security who were just kind of casually running out.
Yeah.
Booker grabs a mic, challenges Scott Steiner to come back out. Steiner doesn't do that. It's like, oh, I guess we'll fight in the near future. Steiner then comes out for a half second right before they go off the air, which makes me think Booker's promo was meant to be a dark segment.
They left a lot of time for this main event. And, like, you know how WCW usually is. It's like, oh, we're out of time. This, you're right. That last bit promo felt like leading into a dark match. Like, it felt like Booker thought the show would go off the air as he was leaving. You know?
Yeah, because it's also a thing of Steiner clearly wants more of Booker T. So him not coming out
doesn't make sense.
Yeah. It doesn't fit the character, doesn't fit the story, doesn't fit what we just saw.
No.
However, post-match being clunky aside, this was a really good match.
Yes. I don't know if it was good in a vacuum or if our standards for this show are really just that low.
I think they had enough rotation of, I mean, this very much is the knock a guy out of the ring, you two have a one-on-one match, but like, people were hitting big moves and it was fast-paced and like, it didn't slow down. And I saw how much time was left and I was like ready for it to be a lot slower, and it wasn't. I was like, okay. And I think actually the fact that it's one of those series of one-on-one matches disguised as a triple threat could really be boiled down to Mike Awesome didn't come out at the start so they could go one-on-one.
Yeah.
But I did enjoy this. This was better than either of these guys' matches on Sunday.
Yeah, very much so.
But it doesn't shock me that Mike Awesome was the one taking the pin here.
Yeah, he, like, his involvement in this match did not really make sense to me. It didn't feel, I don't know, it didn't feel right. Something about it felt off.
Yeah, they had him win a title shot without him really being in, he's not on their level.
He's not.
It's sad, but he's
this
not.
This felt forced.
Yeah.
I guess that's what I'm trying to say. This felt like a Booker-Steiner match. They're like, oh, fuck, we gotta get Awesome in here somewhere.
And it's also the element of, he's the 70s guy, but then the match starts and he's just not.
And he's just a guy.
Which I'm happy with, but then just drop the first part then.
Right.
But that's it for this Nitro as a whole. Emily, thoughts on the overall show?
I was forgetting it while we were watching it.
Yeah.
It's an incredibly forgettable episode. This can be skipped. If you are like watching this as if it's a show, this is a filler. You don't need to watch this episode.
Ric Flair being CEO is big on paper, but I know what his plan or anything is. And
it doesn't really matter, you know?
Like we very much like did the base setup for some feuds going forward, but I don't care about them yet.
No, nothing really matters at this point.
Well, luckily, we'll get a break from WCW next, because next up will be an ECW show.
ECW.
November to Remember.
ECW.
But before we get there, Emily, let's go into best bit, worst bit, and MVP.
This is hard.
Yeah. What was your best bit on this show?
I think it's going to be the same as yours. It's the main event.
Yes.
Yeah, that was an easy choice.
I don't know what the hell second place would be.
Maybe the tag match at the beginning?
Yeah, even then, the mess of an ending. I'm like,
It was all just such a mess.
So I'll agree with you there. Emily, what is your worst bit?
I wonder if we're going to match up here, too. We might not, because mine's a little bit sillier. My worst bit is the villain of the night, Kiwi's body glitter.
I mean, yeah.
It was just constantly coming back up, too.
That's not the worst bit.
There is a case to be made for the whole show. This is a bad show. I could not pick one thing, so I picked the overarching, like, funny worst bit.
I'm torn between my Flair segments.
Mm.
I think I'm going to go with Rick's.
Yeah,
because it was surprising. Right. I don't expect anything from David Flair and Smooth, but
yeah.
A segment with Ric Flair and Jeff Jarrett, I shouldn't leave going, huh?
Yikes. Yeah, you're right.
And then, Emily, who is your MVP?
I honestly didn't have anything written down. I think I need to hear yours first.
I don't really feel good about picking anybody. I praised him earlier that I'm liking him improving. I'm going to give it a Sean O'Hare.
You know, okay.
He hit a cool backflip and didn't break his leg or anything and did double clotheslines. And I don't question them being tag champs.
That's fair. Okay, I'll let you have that one. I guess, like, when in doubt, give it to somebody in the main event.
And you're not going to give it to Steiner.
Honestly, I do have a note that says, like, Mike Awesome actually looks pretty good in this match. So I think I'll give it to Mike Awesome for being able to hold his own amongst those two. Like, yeah, his placement in that match didn't really make sense, but he looked good in the ring.
Okay.
I mean, it's slim pickings, but I think that he did well enough.
You're never going to give it to Steiner.
Not until I absolutely have to.
But next up, it's our third to last ECW original pay-per-view.
It's crazy that we still just have three more ECW shows in general. I feel like that company is so dead already that, like, the fact that there are three more is crazy.
I don't know how things are going over there. But,
not good, probably.
Probably not. But I have more faith in the in-ring work than I do over on Nitro. So.
True. That's fair. If anything, it'll be a fun escape.
But until that escape, you can follow us on social media if you want, at Butts in the Pod. You can listen to all of our back catalog, all the previous ECW episodes.
Especially if you're that person in the parking lot that wants to know what WCW is. We got a lot of back catalog for y'all to listen to. Learn.
And then just a few days after this release, Rope Opera Part 2 will be coming out on the Patreon.
Woo!
We finished it, so up next over there.
We are done with Russo.
We are going to the rise of the NWO.
Let's go. Oh, I just remembered, speaking of different companies and different stories, like, I didn't talk about Mr. Iguana at SummerSlam.
You saw him, that's it.
I got a video of Mr. Iguana walking past me, and I was very excited about it. I love that man. I'm obsessed with that man. Fuck yeah, Mr. Iguana.
All right, you know what? While Emily's in a good mood, let's end it here.
My spirits came back up because I remembered Mr. Iguana.
I don't think he'll be on the next show, but you never know.
You never know.
Until then, I'm Nick.
And Emily.
Thanks for listening to the Butts and Seats podcast.
Bye.